Wow, what a morning. Hey, Smitty just came to me. Raise your hand. How many of you know Mary Smith? Do you know who Mary Smith is? Is Sherry Smith, sorry. Sherry Smith. Smitty just came to me and shared with me that this morning, Smitty, her hot water heater literally exploded at her home. And she is in tears, and Smitty said, hey, Randy, I'm going to head on over and see what I can do. But he just wanted me to make that known to all of you. She's kind of, can you imagine, you know, if that would happen to you? Okay, so anyway, if any of you that know Sherry Smith that would like to call her or make contact with her today, or even go over to the home. Smitty said it's quite a mess over there right now. So I don't know a whole lot about it, but I do want to make that known to you as a congregation. And if you feel led that you might want to talk to Smitty or you know, give Sherry a call and touch base with her. What's it take to live for Jesus? You know, question, what's it take to live for Jesus? You know, as a pastor myself for many years and being on the mission field, and as a brand new Christian, when I became a Christian on May 7th, 1971, that was my first year in college, you know, that question has just kind of hit me more and more in my life. What's it take to live for Jesus? Pastor Will is an absolutely Spirit-filled, led pastor, isn't he? And the elders, when we were talking about, you know, okay, Lord, guide us, direct us, move us in what you would want us to do as we have gifted our pastor with a very needed, the sabbatical. Think about this for a second. Had Pastor Will not done this, I wonder how many of us would have been really aware of just the three needs that have approached us this morning in relation to people that things are happening in their lives right here in our church. And how his responsibilities were to go and just do all this. You guys and you girls, you women and men may not be aware, but since I and Sandy have been a part of, should be Sandy and I, have been a part of the ministry here at the Ridge, I have discovered more and more how much Will, Pastor Will, was doing that we didn't even know about. You're the sister. You're close by. You know.
I don't even know, but yeah.
Yeah, she says, I didn't even know, and yeah. And, you know, this time, while Will is away, we as an elders board, more than ever before, have come to realize that we've let Pastor Will down a little bit. Not in his preaching. Man, he has just failed us in many, many ways. But that we have let him down a little bit in the responsibilities of what it takes to live for Jesus. And if you were here last Sunday, you know that out of Romans chapter 12, he was talking about how we are gifted as a church. Now, raise your hand if you have more than one child. Okay, now the reason I said more than one child, it doesn't mean, you know as well as I do, even if you just have the one child, you know what I'm going to be talking about here. But are your two children or your three children, how many children, are they all exactly the same? Are they all just alike each other? I have two sons, and they're totally opposite. Are they great sons? Yeah. One lives for Jesus, and Sandy and I are so blessed. The other one, he would acknowledge God, but In my heart, you know, do I want him to live closer to Jesus? Of course I do. When he's in town, does he come to the Ridge? Yeah. He never says, no, I'm not going to the Ridge. No, he comes. He and Pastor Will played football against each other, him being from Washington High School, him and Will being from Bradshaw Mountain. But what I'm saying is, every one of us, if we know our children are different from each other, even though they live under the same roof, even though they're different from each other, just think about how different each and every one of you and I are. But nevertheless, the question still reigns, what's it take to live for Jesus? So if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to take them and open them with me. If you don't have your Bible with you, you can look on your phone like most people do, or you can, there's a Bible in the pew in front of you. And I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 12, and I want to start with verse 9. And I actually looked at the New International Version on this, but in the version that you have, most of us do, in front of us, I want to read together starting with verse 9. But I want to preface it with this verse first before I start with verse 9. I want to read to you verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12, those verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is his spiritual worship. Now, right there, it hits me. Okay, God, what is your spiritual worship? What is it? How can I live for you? And here, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And I believe that I found a partial answer. I believe that God revealed to me to share with you what we can do to live for God. And now I start with verse 9 of that chapter, chapter 12. Let love be genuine. And then he goes on, Paul goes on to say, abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Excuse me. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. And contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of God and all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What's it take to live for God? The bottom line is this: love. Love one another. Now, there's a passage of scripture that there's actually two. One I had given to put up, but the other one kind of came to me this morning. And that is out of John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. You guys, and we've all heard this before. A new commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. All men will know that you are my disciple. What's the word disciple mean? Can anybody define that for me? I'm sorry, what? Somebody who's learning. A follower, in this case, a follower of Jesus. Go ahead. A disciplined one. Yes. Earl, excellent. By the way, everybody, this is Earl. Get to know him. A person who is disciplined, a follower of, every one of you who describe this, all men will know that you are my disciple if you, and it's a one-word answer. What is it? Love. If you love one another. Now, what's really exciting about this, I want to break it apart a little bit here with you, but I want to talk about that 12th chapter, starting with verse 9. Let's break it up a little bit. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, and outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be consistent in prayer and contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Let's look at that verse, that last one I just read. It says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. There is a great story that Jesus shares with us. Actually, I should say John shares with us, because it's found in the Gospel of John. And if you have your Bibles, you can open up with me. It's that last chapter of the Gospel of John, chapter 21. And it's this encounter that Jesus has with Peter, beginning with verse 15. Now, I'm not going to, it's up, you can read it there, but this is a conversation that Jesus has with Peter. And again, probably many of us have seen it before, we've heard it before, but Jesus is having this conversation with Peter, and he says to him, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, when he was talking about these, he was talking about those who were all around them. You know, they were, do you love me more than your brother? Do you love me more than your other friends, the disciples? Do you love me more than these? And the response of Peter was to say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And the response of Jesus was to feed his lamb. Go back. Who is the Lamb of God? It's who? The Lamb is Jesus. He's the shepherd. So who are the lambs? We are. Feed the lamb. In other words, Jesus is telling Peter what is really important. If you really love me, feed the lamb. Feed them. Be actively engaged and feed them. Then let's go on. And then he said, Jesus, a second time to Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me? Can you imagine what Peter's experiencing about this time, second time now? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, tend my sheep. Now, remember this conversation. Don't ever let it slip your mind ever again. because there's always a reason why God has to say what he wants to say. He's saying to a man, a human being by the name of Peter, what's really important to Jesus, who is about to go to heaven, is that it's going to take men and women who really, honestly, who love Jesus to understand that to love him is to love others. And to love others is not only to help feed them, and we could get off on a lot of things about feeding. You can do that with physical type of food. But also, it's important to understand to feed people is to encourage them. Would you agree? To lift them up. To pray for them. But then he says, tend my sheep. In other words, hands-on experience. How many of you have a pet at home, be it a dog, a cat? What do those pets crave from you?
Attention.
A touch, attention. They love. Mm-hmm. They crave. What do we crave? Seriously, what is it that you and I want so much in our life? My wife reminds me all the time, will you please listen to me? And I need to learn to drop whatever I'm doing and listen. And I just, last night I went to bed and I'm thinking, okay, how can I got to be a better husband here. I got to take this serious. We as people, some more than others, just like our kids are different from each other, right? But we all need tending. Be it that my wife prepares my favorite meal like she did last night, spaghetti. Or that somebody just gives somebody a hug. Wives, how often do we say, honey, you don't hug me as much as I need? You know, we all need something. We need tending to. And Jesus wanted to make very known to Peter, it's important not only do you feed my lambs, but that you tend to them. And when Smitty came up to me and said, Randy, Shirley Smith, right? Sherry Smith. You guys, I apologize. I've got to get to know Sherry. That this happened. That's tending to a need. Mm-hmm. And he, and I saw a couple other people walk out with him because I know where they're going. Yep. And help clean up the mess, make sure that a new water heater is put in, you know. And again, I don't know the situation. Some of us in this room, if that were to happen to us, it's a quick phone call or a trip to Home Depot, buy a water heater, have somebody come and install it, you know. Not all of us are in that same situation. A matter of fact, in the passage of scripture that I read to you out of chapter 12, which you'll hear again, it says, hey, hang with people who are less endowed as you are, who don't share the wealth that we have been blessed with in our lives. Don't just hang with the people who are in that financial realm that you are. Okay, let's finish the story. And then he said to him a third time. Now you can all imagine, especially if you've read this passage of scripture before, you know Peter's getting a little...
Mature.
Yeah. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And Peter said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus once again says to Peter, feed my sheep. What is it we need to do to live for Jesus? I got to tell you, I'm a simple-minded person. Just ask my wife. It's love. A new commandment that I give unto you is to love one another. All men, all women will know that you are a follower of me, a committed person to me. All men and women, they'll know that you are my disciple if you simply what?
Follow
and love one another. Let's look at the next passage, starting with verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Oh, by the way, I should preface it with saying this. Here comes the hard part. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. And if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Okay, here it is. This is what I love about Paul, because Paul is not just an apostle. He's just a guy like the rest of us guys. He's a person like we all are. And you know it as well as I do. And for the young people back there, I got to tell you, the greatest, most difficult freaking thing you will ever do in your life is to love the unlovely. To love those who don't, I mean, it's like they slap you in the face. They speak evil about you. They gossip about you. All of us in this room have gone through this. Those of us who have gotten older and a little wiser, we've come to the place, not that it doesn't hurt, but who gives a rip? I'm not going to let you mess my life up by what you think of me, but I will love you. No matter what you do, I'm going to love you. I'm going to forgive you. And it's tough. Because you've all heard about tough love. It's tough to love because we live in a day and an age just as Peter and Paul and Thomas and all the other apostles, including our favorite son, Jesus Christ. Nothing has changed because, unfortunately, in a world of sin, we live amongst people who could give a rip about us, who would just as soon put us down as build us up. And many of them don't care about building up anybody but themselves. We live in that kind of world. And out of that, Jesus comes to Peter and says, feed my sheep, tend my sheep. And then Paul goes on to tell us, to love those who don't love us. Hang out with the lowly. Don't give up on them. And I mentioned to you earlier on, shortly after Reggie shared with you the announcement, I said, you know, we have people in our congregation. And I got to tell you, it's tough sometimes because the tendency is to look at a smaller congregation and say, I want to go to a bigger church. That we all fight with at one time or another. But how can we get to the place to be successful in ministry And the answer is to love unconditionally. When we as men and women take our vows that we will love in sickness and health, be it rich or that we will always be there, the ring that we wear on our fingers are round and they have no ending and no beginning. There, you can't, if you have a really good ring, you can't discern where that ring begins or ends, that we will be there always. And Jesus is saying to you and I, if you want to live for me, this is it. You can have all these gifts. You can have the gift of prophecy. You can be an encourager. You can have the gift of tongues. But what's it say in 1 Corinthians 13? You can have all these things, but if you don't have, it's worth nothing. What's it take to live for our Father in heaven? What's it take to live a life that is pleasing to our Lord and Savior? It's love. And in the ending, in the end of this passage of Scripture, verse 19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. And do not overcome evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay, everything I've shared with you, hopefully it has made sense to you. But let's finish it up with reality. It's tough to love those whom we feel don't love us. We just as soon walk away. And you got to love the part, and I've come to this realization in all of my life. Now, I didn't think this way when I was a kid before I became a Christian. And I fought through it a lot, even as a Christian. Even as a pastor, I so oftentimes wanted to take revenge on those that attacked me or my wife or my children. But look at what Paul is saying. Leave it to God. He's the one who, in the ultimate thing in life, will be the final judge. It's not you. You can think, you can say, you can do all you want, but don't play the game of judging. Leave that to God. So wives, when your husbands are acting up, don't get revenge. Just leave it to God. He'll take care of them. Guys, love your wives as Christ loved the church. The point being, and I speak again to the young people, I say these words, and how often we hear something that goes in one ear and out the other. Are we all guilty of that? In life, it's tough. When you all went to camp, you know how you really gelled together as a group? How many were there? Were like 30 of you or 32, something like that? Huge number. The point being is that if we really come together in Jesus Christ and we love one another, don't we want to spend time with each other? But we're all busy. We've got school. We've got things. And by the way, I got to hear your piano recital. That was so awesome. I am so impressed. Because you've only been studying piano for a short time, and look at you, girl. I'm sorry, I got off track there. I got to see a video. Her proud mom shared a video with some of us. But my point being is, if we love one another, then don't we want to hang with each other? I mean, that, guys, girls, I have a group of high school friends. Way back, we graduated in 1970. And Sandy has a group of friends too. But once a year, we all, a group of us get together for dinner. When we were in high school, did we ever talk about Jesus?
No.
Nope. And every time we get together now, guess what we talk about?
Jesus.
Yep. Who would have ever thought?
What?
I didn't even know that they, and most of them were not believers at the time. Patty Mendez, her name is Patty Stewart now. She was a cheerleader. She was always active, you know. But I remember one time her and Carolyn Auger, our senior year in high school, and probably this was a turning point in my life, but they invited me to a church service. Now, neither one of those girls were my girlfriend. You know, they were just friends. I'd known them since junior high school. But you know what? I went because, not because I wanted to go to church, it's because they were pretty. But then when I got to church and heard the message, that was probably when I trace it all back. Shortly after my father died, there was other instances too, but when I trace it all back, that was probably the first time in my life that I heard a message that interested me. Couldn't believe it at the beginning. It was tough. You know, love your enemies. Oh, yeah, give me a break. I didn't want to hang with those turkeys. But the point being is that when you want to live a life for Jesus, when you want to live a life for God, you can have all the gifts in the world. And we're all different, just like our children are different. But the ultimate thing that brings us all together is that we love one another. We're willing to overlook our faults, because we can find fault in anybody. We're willing to overlook all that and just love one another, care for one another. I just heard, I saw Jackie in pain out there. Many of you did too. And I can lift her up in prayer. I can give her a phone call, you know, stuff. But I just want to knock on her door and say, I'm thinking about you. Even if it's just for a few minutes, just letting her know that I care. Mary, Laura's mother-in-law, I haven't even met her or her father-in-law, but they're both in the hospital now, and this is tough. And by the way, next week, Josh White is going to be sharing. He's going to be delivering the message. And, you know, he's got all this stuff going on in his life. But he's going to be sharing. And then the week after that, you guys, I am so thrilled for you. Because it will make you love, it'll make you love Will more than anything else. But the week after that, Jamie's husband, Corey, is going to be sharing. Does anybody know where Corey is right now? Raise your hand if you know where he is. Doing Sunday school with the kids. You're going to meet people that you've seen in church, but you've never had a clue that they love Jesus so much that they're willing to stand up here and share with you. They're not ordained pastors, they're not trained ministers, they're not, but they love Jesus and they just want to get up and share. And I'm going to be meeting with somebody this Wednesday I'm really excited about. And other people are going to be sharing in messages. And I'm just blown away. As a person who walked into this church it's been about 6 years ago, and had a guy named Tim, who's twice my size, wrap his arms around me and say, hey, welcome. And Sandy and I were so blown away by that. And We both went home that day saying, man, this is where we want to be. And how God directed us here. And a little over 2 years ago when we retired full time and came and became a part of this ministry, how it would affect our lives. And getting to know Will and Brandy and the kids and the youth kids in the youth group and the elders and you know, Connor's dad and stepmom. I mean, just blown away. We have a professor from Embry-Riddle here that's so freaking smart, I can't even hold a candle to what he knows. And yet, you'd never know it. I am in the presence of an incredible woman who ministers at camps, and I wonder how many of you know that over the years. And how that is. It blows me away. I've met people that I never thought that work out of their homes and construct and
she's one of them.
Yeah. there's individuals that I had no idea that were so intelligent and were there for Jackie this morning because that's their expertise. And getting to know Chris, whom somebody said, I think it was your father-in-law. I said, oh yeah, my son-in-law, you got to talk to Chris. And he comes to my home and helps me with a job that I don't know what I'm doing, but he does. And matter of fact, he helped me so much, I had to take all the things back that I bought because they were all just messed up and ordered new stuff and we're waiting for that. But you guys, girls, what a blessing to be a part of the family of God. You guys may not know this. This gentleman right here, I'm just blown away because he gave up his job that paid like three or four times what his job now pays so that he could be close to home and with his family. And now he's involved in a ministry, and he is, you know, I tell you, I'm just, it blows me away when I discover these things. I got to go to the casino and listen to this man, whom I don't know very much, except see, playing a band. This guy is so respected. Yeah, how many of you have had the opportunity to, you know, he played here in church one time with the group. That was the first time that really, you know, and I took my son, and I think Ross, you were with us that evening, and man, this guy is unbelievable. And then I find out that Ryan goes to Flag and plays. I would love to have been there. We weren't in town. I would have gone. What a blessing. Oh, well, Brandon sees a need and teaches himself how to play the bass.
Yes.
And you would think that, oh, he's been playing all his life. Nope. You know, and then he's got a voice. Mm-hmm. Guys, what a blessing. What a blessing. This man, I'm so blown away by this guy. Takes over as the he's consented to do that. Just last week, has said, hey, I'll do it. A CPA taking over the treasurership of the church to help us as elders to understand so that we can spend less time doing that and more time praying. Because that's what the elders are all about. And ladies and gentlemen, in closing, with all this that I've shared with you, love is where it's at. It's where it's at. It's kids in the back, teenagers, young adults. It's not about doing A, B, C, and D that will make you understand about what it is to be a Christian. What it is to be a Christian is just simply loving each other. When things get screwed up, thank you. When things get screwed up, you still love one another. And I'm just going to say this to you, because you're only going to get to be a teenager for a very short time. In a few years, some of you are going to go to college, some of you are going to move away, some of you are going to be here, there, and everywhere. But you know what? Every once in a great while, you'll come home and you'll want to hang out with each other. And you'll want to hang out with each other. And that's love. That's what it's all about. And I thank him for his great love to us, to demonstrate to us what it is. As the worship team comes, I want you all to be encouraged by this. It's simple. It's a four-letter word that if we want to live for God, just love and honor, but love one another in the name of Jesus Christ. And more than anything else for our ministry here at the Ridge, when people like Earl walk through our door, and almost every Sunday I see somebody I haven't seen before, but when you walk through the doors of our church, from the moment you're greeted at the door to the moment that a ministry smacks you in the face, like the welcoming committee or newcomers class or whatever it is, be it the Sunday school upstairs. Hey, you guys want to be praying for something neat? You want to hear this? I'm going to blow it for everybody. I'm probably not supposed to announce it. Did you know that we have a couple who have sensed a feeling of starting a daycare center here at the Ridge? Just think, yeah. You guys, I've been involved in two daycare centers at churches, and believe me, the families that come and the connection that, and the bond that you make is incredible. We need to pray for that. May not happen this year, but we are praying, Lord, let us be a love light in our community. And I really believe that there's coming a day, ladies and gentlemen, when all the seats in the sanctuary will not be able to contain the people who will want to come and worship and experience the love at the Ridge. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for guiding and directing us. Thank you for Paul sharing with us, Lord. And just following the words of Jesus himself, to love one another as I have loved you. All men will know that you are my disciples if you just simply love one another. And all of the things that are involved with loving, the feeding, the tending, the caring, the sharing, the helping, the visiting, Father, it's all about love. We're going to take it in the face. We're going to have words thrown at us. The enemy will want to battle us. But we will love you and we will love them. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.